Later this week, 110 members of the New Hampshire Army National Guard will mobilize in support of combat operations in Afghanistan. The 237th Military Police Company will train for several months in Texas before departing to Khost Province. 77 of the soldiers are deploying for the first time. Others are on their second or third deployment. One is on his fifth. It's those repeated deployments that have been signatures of the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. And a researcher at UNH says they could be taking a toll on service members' families. Dr. Pablo Arriaza is assistant professor of social work at UNH and author of new research on the challenges children in military families can face when one or both parents are repeatedly deployed. It was published recently in the Illinois Child Welfare Journal. Doctor, welcome to All Things Considered.
Thank you, Brady. Thank you for being here.
You found that some children whose parents were deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan multiple times showed signs of grief reaction, sometimes complicated grief. That's a term we typically associate with people who've had a death of a loved one. Why do kids have a similar reaction when parents are repeatedly deployed?
If we can just define grief in relation to a loss, just experiencing a loss, when children experience significant losses in regards to a parent being deployed, then we can consider that a grief reaction. We have now a situation where children are experiencing 6, 7, 8, 9 deployments of a parent. It is what I call unresolved grief because the children and also the family members don't have the time to actually catch up with processing those grief reactions and kind of acclimating and finding a state of equilibrium.
And without that chance to catch up, what effects might you see in a child at school or because of that ongoing unresolved issue?
What happens is that children can actually experience some, I am a social worker, so I call it biopsychosocial kinds of reactions. And biologically, you may see some, physically, you may see some symptoms of regression where children may wet their beds, for example. They may begin sucking their thumb again, or they may be engaging in baby talk. Socially, what we may see is children isolating, not going out and playing anymore, or even playing inside the house with their usual toys. Psychologically, of course, we may see some symptoms of mild depression, anxiety, and also kind of restlessness. And while all these symptoms are really important to acknowledge and to pay attention to, I am very aware that it is important for us not to pathologize the symptoms, that grief reactions are normal. And I think that sometimes we tend to jump too quickly to intervene and say, oh, you know, this child needs some a specific intervention, medication or therapy, when in fact what they need is just love and affection and a greater understanding, perhaps from starting in the family and then moving on to the school system, for example.
You say the word we often use to describe military families is resilient. And you say that well-intentioned description could actually be problematic. Could you describe the issues around resiliency?
By actually using that word resiliency, we are validating the fact that a child is resilient. But what does that really mean? Sometimes we tell children, you know, you are a big boy, you're a big girl, you're the head of the family now, you're doing so well, without actually paying attention to those biopsychosocial factors that I mentioned earlier. Theoretically, that's great. I think conceptually it is good to say military families are awesome. They are resilient. Of course they are. But when we're looking at specific members of the family, children in this case, for example, children may not be in a good place to actually say, okay, well, I am resilient, but wait a minute, I still have these other feelings, and what do I do with them? So in a way, we may not be giving them permission to acknowledge the feelings that they may be having related to their grief.
Now, a family who has a member, say, in the Army full-time, would likely move around many times during the course of deployments. But you noted in the research that New Hampshire may be in a slightly different boat because so many of the people who are deployed from the Granite State are in the National Guard. How does that change the dynamic for these families?
Primarily because of the services that are available for military families. And within military installations, what we find are a plethora of services. In New Hampshire, families and children don't have that, or very limited. They do have services through the units that the active members are attached to, but they may not have access to the services like in other states. And also, I think it is important to say that I think it is challenging for families sometimes to reach out. If we have a military member who is 2 hours from a unit and then they're deployed and we have a day of snow, 6-7 inches, you know, what is the likelihood that that family is going to reach out and drive 2 hours for services? You know, Brady, even with families in military installations, that's what I said earlier about unprecedented events. I think that eventually we're not going to see much of a difference between, to be honest with you, between military installations and states like New Hampshire that don't have those military installations in regards to the reactions of children and families, because all of these families are moving from state to state. They're moving frequently, and we just don't have a good handle on sometimes on how to actually help them.
And that's then the next question: how to be proactive and not wait for signs or symptoms. How does that start then, even before a deployment, possibly?
It is difficult, I think, to look at what to do first. In this article, I used the acronym INCLINE. INCLINE stands for including children in the decisions that the families make, for example. The N stands for nurturing. Parents need to learn how to nurture children in a way that is effective, but also nurture themselves. And that self-care is also very important. Communication, listening. When I say intensity, what I refer by the intensity is the level of the behaviors, the intensity of the behaviors that the children may be exhibiting. So some of it may be quite mild, but if children are beginning to have more chronic symptoms of depression, for example, or they're beginning to isolate even further, then that's a good time to actually get some help. And then nurturing, like I said, in external resources, being able to access what's available out there.
Well, Doctor, thanks so much for coming in and talking with me.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your time.
Dr. Pablo Arriaza of the University of New Hampshire, his research on grief reactions in children whose parents are repeatedly deployed, was recently published in the Illinois Child Welfare Journal.